This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello and welcome to In Conversation, a Dublab podcast where each week we will bring you interviews from the Dublab Radio Archives.
Hey, you're listening to She Said So LA Radio. We're back for our first show of the year, and we have the most exciting guest today. We have the beautiful Sancho with us today.
Hola.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome. You can't see it, but she's looking lovely on, in our twilight sunset.
Yeah,
I think
the name
that's
of that?
The light that we chose for today. It might be Savannah sunset. Yeah, it's nice. It goes well with the red lipstick.
Yes.
So thank you for coming in the coolest outfit ever.
Thank you, my day drag.
You look lovely.
So I'll start out with a little bio so you guys know what we're talking about here. So Sancho is a singer-songwriter based in the city of Angels, increasingly known for her visceral and explosive live performances. Her name, derived from the Spanish word Sancha, which translates to mistress, is a mischievous reference to the title of San, given to male saints in the Catholic tradition. Fans of cumbia and punk, bolero and electro flock to see Sancha's emotional renditions of traditional Mexican rancheras and original songs that are queer conventions of identity, power, and love. Her striking stage presence is accompanied by the one-of-a-kind garments she adorns, such as the ones she's wearing today. aesthetic reflections of the years spent performing in drag and club scenes in the Bay. Sancho was the headlining act of the kickoff of the 2019 Red Bull Music Festival, with recent performances at the Getty Museum, TBA Fest, Levitt Pavilion, Hoco Fest, Sonido Clash Music Festival, and Santa Monica Pier. Her latest album, La Luz de la Esperanza, is written in the form of a surrealist telenovela. Oh, it's so epic. And sounds like what Pitchfork described as modernized ranchera with a rock edge and goth sensibility, which is the coolest sentence I've ever heard. Effortlessly mixing Spanish and English, La Luz de la Esperanza calls for a bold confrontation of tradition while respectfully honoring it.
Welcome, amazing. Sancha.
That's one of the best bios we've had also.
Yay.
A lot of great words. Visceral.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This is going to be good.
So, Sancha, explain to our listeners the origin story of your name. Where did you get that name? How old were you when you came across that word? What does it mean to you?
It was like 2009 or 2008, and my Filipino friend was saying that her boyfriend was calling my gay best friend and her gay best friend the Sancho. And she was telling my mom this. And my mom was like, "You don't know what a Sancho is?" And so she was explaining to my friend what a Sancho is, which is like the side man, you know, the side piece. And she finally like realized what that was. But then I wrote it down real quick and I like separated the words. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like, that just, like, came to me then. And then it maybe a couple months later, I was like, well, that's going to be my name, you know?
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it as, like, San is, like, San Francisco, San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio, you know, it's, like, a male saint, mm-hmm. like, the prefix. So I was thinking of it in like, the way that saints kind of play, like a side person part to, like, the way we revere, like, Jesus or things like that, you mm-hmm. know? Like, the Catholic religion is supposed to be monotheistic, but there's still all these saints that you mm-hmm. pray to for specific things.
So
I was mm-hmm. thinking of it that way, like, in a religious context.
Did it in any way feel like you were reclaiming that word, too?
I guess I didn't think about it so deep at that time, but yeah.
At this point now, you mm-hmm. feel like, yeah, that's the case for you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. especially being, like, growing up so Catholic and believing it for such a long time. And then,
yeah.
like, realizing that all of this is not a fact. You
right.
know, all these things aren't factual.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard realization. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in a traditional Mexican household. How did that shape you into the person you are now? And what were some traditions you felt like you had to break through to truly be yourself?
Well, the thing that that I was taught to do was to be a housewife. So everything in my life has been like how to be a good housewife, like how to dress like a good, like good woman, how to, you know, clean, how to cook, which like cleaning and cooking is good for yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's something I had to rebel against for a long time. And, you know, like looking feminine also to me was like, I didn't want to do it. I wanted to be in like baseball caps and like mm-hmm. jeans and stuff like that. And I was kind of forced into being feminine because I'd get grounded and I had to wear like dresses for a whole week.
Mm. That was the punishment?
Yeah.
Wow.
So now I feel like, and I think my mom notices this, that I'm kind of, I feel like a drag queen and I like it now, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm femme. But it's a performance, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like something that now I like to do. Now I like to wear dresses. I like mm-hmm. to, you know, look a little crazy. And my mom still doesn't like it, so.
Can't win.
Yeah.
But now at least you're doing it because you want to do it, right. Not because you're grounded and you have to do your
hands for a whole week.
That's such an interesting thing.
Yeah.
That's such a frustrating dynamic. Like, yeah, it's great to know how to cook. That's an awesome skill. It's an mm-hmm. awesome skill to, like, be cleanly, but it shouldn't be on, like, the woman. That shouldn't be the woman's
yeah.
role, you know?
Right, right.
So mm-hmm. frustrating.
So music has seemed to be a huge part of your life growing mm-hmm. up. When did you really take it seriously and think, this is what I want to do professionally?
I feel like I've been so serious about it since
I
started. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just never told people. I was so shy. But when I was 12, I joined the church choir. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when I actually started singing in public spaces. And but I was always very clear about what I wanted to do. I was like, I just want to sing. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, and that's amazing when you have that sensibility from a very early age
yeah.
and you, like, have a very strong understanding of mm-hmm. yourself and what you want to do. Because a lot of people, you know, they have to experiment and try different things mm-hmm. and, like, really figure
yeah.
themselves out. But from when you have it from a young age and you really know, you just go for it. Mm-hmm. So that's really great.
Yeah.
You've been preparing your whole life for this.
Oh, yeah.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to listen to some more music from Sancha's playlist, which is absolutely beautiful.
I'm jamming.
And you're jamming. Well, we will be right back with Sancha in just a few.
And you're listening to She Said So LA Radio with our amazing guest Sancha here. Wow, I'm loving this playlist.
Yay.
And it was really fitting our conversation we were having earlier. So how did you know?
Psychic.
Uh-huh. All the Cancer Moon energy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah,
found out the three of us are all Cancer Moons.
So we're all going to get real emotional
real
fast. So anyway, tell us a little bit about your initial exposure to traditional ranchero music and what its importance is to you as a contemporary musician.
I mean, my whole life, my dad's been playing Vicente Fernandez records and Jose Alfredo Jimenez, which is, Jose Alfredo Jimenez is one of like the big songwriters mm-hmm. That wrote a lot of these classic songs that people sing over and over and over again. So, you know, at that time it was like, I thought it was just men singing it. And mm-hmm. then at a certain point, maybe while I was in college, they bought like these CDs that had, you know, all these women on it, like mm-hmm. Lola Beltran, Amalia Mendoza, who we played. Mm. And that's when I started, like, hearing, like, the emotion, you know, and hearing some people that kind of sounded like me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I would try to sing in that way, but it was very different, you mm-hmm. know? I was trying to, sing like Shakira or something. Which, like, I mean, whatever. Shakira when she was a rocker.
She's got a crazy, interesting voice.
She does. So it didn't work out so much at that time, or at least I didn't want to do it in public, you know? Mm-hmm. It was just something that I loved to listen to. And then I left to Mexico from the Bay in 2014, mm-hmm. and I left all distraught and stuff, and my aunt was like, everyone sucks, and obviously everyone sucks because you're here, and obviously what you were doing was not working, and you should sing rancheras. And she was like, I don't know what kind of weird-ass music you're singing, but you need to change that. And I was like, whatever, Tia. Give me your iPod. Like, I'll play some songs for you. And I learned a couple songs. Like, she asked me to sing a couple songs, and mm-hmm. then I looked through her iPod and then chose my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. And I made a little CD. And then she passed it to my other Tia, and she knew a priest, and then, like, there was this, like, long line of things.
The priest blessed the
mixtape. Yeah, exactly. And they all just, like, loved it and wanted it, and every time they had people over, they would ask me to sing for them, too, and I was like, okay, I guess this works, you know?
Yeah.
And then, and then I was like, yeah, you know, I came here and I'm going to go to Mexico City because that's where I'm going to find, like people that are like me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I went and I had this neighbor. We both lived in, like, the rooftop rooms. Uh-huh. And he was singing, like, in the center and, like, the big hipster neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And he'd go and he'd be like, oh, we only have to learn 3 songs. And then we just, like, move from restaurant to restaurant and make money that way.
Songs, yeah.
And we were doing that and, like, singing, like, in big public taco spaces and stuff like that. But somehow, like, that made everything click, like, where mm-hmm. I had to project and, like, really just get my voice out, you know, mm-hmm. to, like, a whole huge, huge community that wasn't paying attention to me, you know? And that's where it really started. And then my parents always asked me to sing for them at every single party.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I never like to do things the way that they're supposed to be done. So I like to mix, you know, things that I know or things that I don't even know so well.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out on my own. Like, I made an album out there without the internet, with Logic, and I didn't know how to use Logic.
Hey, that's the best way to learn.
Yeah.
Trial by fire.
Exactly. And just thinking about all the things I like cumbia rhythms and rancheras, and but also I like to scream and, like, how to get that energy into a recording, and just mixing everything without thinking about that they all come from different places.
Yeah.
They really don't, you know?
Yeah, and once you understand the history of music, you just see that there's so many through lines with everything. Mm-hmm. So you released your first EP, Capricho del Diablo, mm-hmm. and you performed the 2019 Red Bull Music Festival mm-hmm. last year. And it was this multi-act novella.
Yeah.
If I understand correctly, I wish I'd seen it because it sounds so fascinating. And the performance was really well received here mm-hmm. in the LA community. So can you tell us a little bit about that experience? Like, what led you to stage that show as a multi-act novella?
Well, so that idea that I had for this telenovela, I had since I left from the Bay to Mexico, and supposedly I was going to go and finish that while I was in Mexico, mm-hmm. and then realized that that was, like, a bigger project than I even knew, mm-hmm. but I knew that if it was going to be a telenovela, it had to have huge dresses, and I'm not a fashion designer, so I was like, I obviously have to have people and, like, more collaborators with mm-hmm. me, you know? So I wrote the songs that are in Capricho del Diablo. I wrote, like, 9 songs, like a demos kind of thing. And I came out with that instead. And I kind of finished the story to the telenovela. But then I just kept writing, like, little songs here and there and, like, pieces of songs, not even anything finished. And in 2018 in December, Red Bull asked me to open up their festival, and they were like, you're going to perform at this church. And they said, give us a proposal. You're going to get it, but just give us a proposal. And I was like, well, I have this thing that I've been thinking about for a long time, this telenovela. And I always imagined it as music videos.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, well, duh, it has to be that. Like, that's what I'm going to do at this church. And I have this longtime friend who's one of the people that kind of inspired the telenovela. And I went back to him and I was like, you need to help me with this. And he was like, well, first of all, you need to put this in like a Google Doc. And I was like, ew, I don't do those things. But
I'm on a Google Doc right now.
But then I did it. And basically it's like I put every piece of a song with the scene in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like 16 or 17 songs at first. And it dropped down to 13. So from December to February, I had to finish writing 13 tracks, learn them with the 7-piece band.
Wow.
And then we did choreography. We did visuals for the entire thing. And yeah, there was like the whole story. And then my friend Olima did all the dresses. And I've already been working with Olima for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the first time that I was like, hey, here's a budget.
Wow. Oh, man, you that must have been amazing. Busy, it sounds like it.
Yeah, especially in such a short period of time, too, having to do all of that.
Yeah.
And then work with, like, rehearse with a 7-piece band and choreograph and everything. That's intense.
Yeah.
But you did it. So that experience, did you feel like it came out to be what you had envisioned it to be?
Yeah, I mean, it even came out to be, like, things that I didn't envision, because I didn't envision it to be a live performance.
Mm-hmm.
But it was everything I wanted. Like, we used up the whole church. I wasn't even myself. I was this character named Dolores.
Oh my gosh. Like full method.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it was really magical.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful.
It sounds magical. I'm so mad I wasn't there.
I know.
That sounds truly epic in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what we sort of discussed earlier, you mentioned this. You were living in SF,
mm-hmm.
and you hosted a monthly goth industrial punk drag party called Dark Room. Was it called Dark Room?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And can you tell us a little bit about this event series and how it came about? And do you have any desire to do something like that again, maybe in LA?
Well, I was like one of the hosts that were paid to be there and dress up and stuff like that. But when I first started doing it, I got booked as like to sing.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I met one of my best friends, and all the drag queens look like ghosts, basically, or like, you know, these creepy something, but then
this sounds amazing.
It moved into like a bigger nightclub, and then it turned very like everyone was a dom that worked here, that went there, In the beginning, it was like a very freeing space for me, and I was like, oh, this is where I belong. But then it just turned like more, it seemed like predictable, and then it turned just very white, and that's actually what made me want to leave the Bay Area, because I was like, oh, I'm making music here. But I don't have the musicians to play, like, cumbias with me. I don't have the musicians to mix all of the things that I want, that I desire. So I mostly was in it, like, to be an entertainer. And I was kind of, like, a pseudo club kid and all these things. Mm-hmm. And those are all the things I didn't want to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came to L.A. and I found, like, Mustache Mondays, which was, like... something I had been a fan of for, like, such a long time. Like, we would come and visit L.A., and if we were here on a Monday, we'd go to Mustache. And I got to meet Nacho, who recently passed. Mm-hmm. But Nacho was the one who threw Mustache, and he had me work for him for about a year. And then he turned into one of my co-managers.
Oh, wow.
And so that was, like, Dark Room in a certain way was, like, what I really wanted to be was at Mustache, and then I met this person here in LA, Rudy, who also does this party, Scum. Mm-hmm. And I think that party was... The party is kind of are a place where you meet different people of different, like at Mustache, we'd meet designers and we'd meet other musicians and mm-hmm. producers and, you know, all these different visual and musical talents and stuff like that. And we
people.
All, yeah, and all these creative people, different age groups at Scum too. And it's just about mixing, like, mm-hmm. it turns out to be like kind of like an underground gem, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was cool to be a part of that.
That's awesome.
But now I don't have energy for that. I need to sleep.
It does take a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Sleeping is great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Very underrated.
Very underrated. I'm mm-hmm. appreciating it more and more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a quick break, listen to some more of this beautiful music, and we will be back very shortly with our interview with Sancha. Si tú no me quieres ya, el amor que ya ha pasado no se debe recordar. Fui la ilusión de tu vida, un día lejano ya. Hoy represento el pasado, no me puedo conformar. ¿Qué te importa que te ame si tú no me quieres ya? El amor que ya ha pasado no se debe recordar. Fui la ilusión de tu vida, un día lejano ya. Hoy represento el pasado, no me puedo conformar. Si las cosas que uno quiere se pudieran alcanzar, tú me quisieras lo mismo que 20 años atrás. Con qué tristeza miramos un amor que se nos va. Es un pedazo del alma que se arranca sin piedad.
Cántame algo hermoso.
listening to She Said So LA Radio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm loving this track. What song is this so everyone knows?
This is Savila Cantame. They're from Portland.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So your latest full-length album, La Luz de la Esperanza, is your mm-hmm. own version of a telenovela. And I know we talked about that a little bit, but it feels very much of this time. And I feel like your voice really speaks for the voiceless in the sense that there are so many things that I feel like most people have difficulty talking about. But mm-hmm. I feel like you kind of put that in the forefront, which is mm-hmm. amazing. Tell us a little bit about this imaginary telenovela that you created and what your hopes are for the future of this type of storytelling.
So the telenovela is actually like very personal, you know, mm-hmm. like it's about very personal things that I just make very dramatic. I guess it's the very Cancer Moon thing in myself.
Hey, life can be very dramatic.
And, you know, it's like a queer retelling, because, you know, I never saw that in my Mexican telenovelas that I watched. I've been seeing them growing up, and the way we perform a lot of the times mimics telenovelas. So I know Rosalía also came out with the telenovela, mm-hmm. but it was also, hers was like a remake of a 14th century telenovela. Mm-hmm. And what I am doing is just writing a whole story, and I don't know about other people. I just do it for myself, mm-hmm. you know? And I hope it inspires people to mostly make everything a story, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, with everything that I do, I mostly have a narrative, like an entire mm-hmm. narrative in my head. And that's what I don't see a lot, is I don't see a story very much.
Yeah.
And I would like to see more stories.
Mm-hmm. Have you had anybody reach out to you personally and say that it's touch them in a way, or that they feel like it spoke to them?
You know, the most important thing that I've seen is like queer brown kids connecting with their moms mm. and their tias, and that's like the kind of thing that makes me emotional. Wow. And like, this is really bridging the age gaps mm. and the
really
and also
powerful.
Being queer and being brown kind of alienates you from your family a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like, this is very important, you know, very important that this has that effect.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. Well, I mean, not as deep of a question, but I really want to know. I mean, we talked about it a little bit already. Sorry, I'm playing footsie with Phoebe over here. let's all get in on it. So fashion seems to be a huge part of your life and your artistry. Mm-hmm. You're known for your one-of-a-kind garments. I just Instagram stalked you and was almost fell on the floor looking at some of these dresses that you wear. So can you tell us a little bit about your process that you go through to put these looks together? Maybe tell us about your uh-huh. friend who you said is the designer. And do you make any clothes yourself as well?
Oh, no. I hate sewing. Oh, my God.
I always stab myself, so.
I hate anything tedious like that. I have no patience. But my friend Olima, I met him through one of my best friends that I've known since I was 11. And that best friend moved here like 4 years before I did. Mm-hmm. And he was friends with Olima. And so as soon as I got here, I started hanging out with Olima. And, but it wasn't until 2 years ago that he started making me custom, because I finally got some budgets, you know? Mm-hmm. but he's been helping me in little ways. Like, he'll take me to Goodwill. Like, when I was really, really broke, mm-hmm. he'd take me to Goodwill, get me shoes, get me little dresses. He would let me borrow whatever he had for other people or things that he had for his fashion collections mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And a lot of things wouldn't fit me, so we just work it out, you know? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like making these garments that I now wear all the time, we're always talking about things. We have like a whole like photo collection that we share on our phones, and he's always like very inspired. Like, he's just one of my best friends, you know? And
that's so great.
Really
to
easy
to work with someone you're so close with.
Yeah. And it's just like a very natural process. He'll be like, oh, what do you think of this? Like, oh, now we should go shorter. Like, we've done the big downs, but now we should go shorter.
Yes. And, show you know, leg, it's fun.
Exactly. And he'll, like, understand the things I like and don't like. And we've worked together for a while where I'm like, I don't like these kind of, like, neck things or, you know, stuff like that. And he knows the things that flatter me. He knows my body. Him and his grandma work together.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yes, that's amazing.
And whenever they have free time, grandma's always like, let's make something for Sancha.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love grandma.
Did he help create the dress that you wore for that shoot that we used for the graphic for the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that so funny story gorgeous. On that, too, because I think I saw on your Instagram that Giselle Hernandez shot those
yes.
photos. So Giselle and I actually went to school together.
No way.
Which was so funny. We both went to Art Center, and I met her briefly. Small we didn't world. Have any classes because she was in photo, but it was such a small world. I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So how do you know Giselle? Before we go to the next question, that was just, I needed
well,
to ask.
I just need to know.
Giselle had asked me to be a part of one of her photo shoots that she got to display at Grand Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that she made, for every single person that she shot, she made like a set.
Yeah.
And the photo that we got out of this was used for the Red Bull Music Festival, for the Getty. Everybody wanted that photo. So
it's a great, great photo.
So when I thought of who I was going to have shoot my album photo, I was like, well, Giselle. Like, I already have this epic photo from her that I did.
She gets it. It's
exactly. Yeah. She gets the telenovela. She really...
She can bring the drama that you need.
Exactly. Yeah, her photography has a very cinematic look to it, so it works so perfectly with that telenovela kind of look that you want to go with.
And she's a genius with the lighting. I just saw her be very particular, you know?
Yeah.
And she had, like, two assistants, and I was like, this is exactly what I need. And when we did the telenovela shoot, she had somebody working on the whole scenery. You know, like, we shot it at a studio and everyone's like, where did you shoot that? And it's like like they actually created the walls, the windows, everything.
Wow.
Everything was taken into consideration.
That's so cool.
Okay, so to go back,
all those details really paid off.
To go back to your album La Luz de la Esperanza, it received a glowing review from Pitchfork, and they're
harsh.
Yeah, they're
man.
Like
they're
notoriously
harsh.
Known to
they
be
are,
very
really.
Harsh. So, do you care about recognition from these kinds of music blogs, such as Pitchfork, or does it not matter? Like,
I
what
mean,
is it?
It's exciting, you know.
Yeah.
It is exciting, but you know, like. You always have to tell yourself that numbers don't really mean anything. And these things, music is so subjective.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, it's like beauty. Like how could you really put a number to it?
Yeah. That's why I don't care for award shows either. Because it's like, it's just such a subjective thing. How could you, like, reward something that probably isn't even what somebody else is interested in? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it just is kind of, I don't know.
But it was exciting. It was very exciting.
Yeah.
And for them, I think they get it wrong sometimes, too. They also are super mean, like I said, and I feel like want to go for the jugular with a lot of these artists. Like, ooh, their Louis Tomlinson review. Really? It hurt me, and I don't care anything about him at all. but, yeah, at the very least, I'm just happy for you because, like, big
recognition.
And that I'm sure a lot more people, like the people you want to connect to, are seeing your music now and connecting to it. So that's good.
And the way these things work, like, you need like a stamp of approval to like get somewhere else.
So
which
dumb.
Is,
but
like,
you can put that in your bio. Pitchfork reviewed
exactly.
artist.
Yeah. Which I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. And it was very exciting. I can't lie. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this.
Happy dance
to me.
To me.
All right, let's get back to our last music break. We will be back with Sancha. We have just one more question to go, and then we're going to get to this live performance, which we are so stoked about.
So excited.
So excited. All right, we will be right back. This is She Said So LA Radio.
You
And you're listening to She Said So LA Radio. So we just have one last question for you before mm-hmm. this amazing live performance.
Epic.
So, you know, we want more. Where can we see you next? Do you have any shows coming up? What's next for Sancha?
So we're doing a noise pop run where we're doing Sacramento, Santa Cruz, San Francisco.
Okay.
And that's February 26th in Sacramento at Harlow's. Mm-hmm. The 27th at the Catalyst in Santa Cruz. And then the 28th at Slim's in San Francisco.
Cool.
And then we come back and we do Pappy and Harriet's.
Nice.
When? Mm-hmm.
On March 2nd.
Mark your calendars,
people. Oh, my
people.
Goodness. That's amazing. I love Pappy's.
In Pioneertown, Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Very cool.
My friend got married, like, right down the street from Pappy and Harriet's.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Such a cool area. I love it there.
And then we are doing South by Southwest.
Yay!
So stay tuned for the dates.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are doing Dumbo in Tucson on April 24th. Mm-hmm. And then we're doing Chicago, the Museum of Mexican Art. On the 25th of April.
You're hitting, like, all my favorite cities.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. Any new
Austin
music
so
coming
bad.
Out anytime soon? Are you working on anything?
We're hoping to release something in the summer.
Ooh,
very cool.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. People have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, I need that.
Yeah.
Get me through to the summer.
A little something. A little bit of something.
Well, this was so wonderful, Sancha. We're so excited for this live performance. Is there anything that people should expect? Like, what is this going to be like, this live performance?
Very intimate. Very, very.
I love the sound of that.
That sounds wonderful.
We're going to go to church.
Yes. Repent, everyone.
I'm ready.
On your knees.
My confession. Oh, my God.
That was great.
Was that a Fleabag reference?
No? Maybe.
Okay. All right, cool. So we'll get set up over here, and then live music coming at you soon.
Yes.
On She Said So LA Radio.
So exciting.
Yes.
In Conversation was produced by DubLab, a nonprofit radio station broadcasting live from Los Angeles since 1999. Sound editing and theme song by Matea Bain. For more programming, visit dublab.com. And thank you for listening.